Welcome to the daily VFN Radio highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. We've got to cry out for justice for America so this slaughter will stop. And it's not going to be just the slaughter in the context of what we're seeing, you know, man against man, but we're going to look at geothermal type things taking place. You know, they're just saying right now that Yellowstone is one of the most powerful expectant volcanoes in the world, and its eruption could literally destroy the world, not just America, because it'll blow so much stuff in the air that when it all lands, it will kill. But also then its plume, its cloud will block the sun, then all the vegetation would die, and then man dies off. That's how big it is.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
And understand this, that God holds these things back. These are things that stay in check when we're in check. But when we're out of check, all these things he held in check, he pulls his hand off of them.
Wow.
And that alone, understand that, you know, why go this route? You know, why do that? And that's Yellowstone Park. And you're talking about not just a country, but the world. Could be affected by an eruption in there. But economical, we're looking at the economy and how the economy is just being in our faces. And when you go back and look at the perfect storm, you can get to it at VFNTV.com and click on the banner at the bottom and the prophetic words that was given by John Paul Jackson in regards to the headlines that God has shown him. I mean, they're coming to pass like clockwork. And now they're discussing a across-the-board cut, the budget, and one of those are defense budget cuts. And they're talking about cutting the pay of the military. Remember, this is one of the headlines was, military comes home because there's not enough money to be able to keep them in these lands. Right. And they're bringing them home as we speak, intentionally bringing them home.
Right.
And it's not a mistake. You know, what really happens, you know, when you live long enough, you begin to see that God will allow a man to believe what he needs to believe so he can do what God wants him to do. And they'll be convinced in their own heart, this is the right thing for America. When really, God's allowing them to believe that so that they are used to humble America.
Sure.
And these things are happening right in our faces. I mean, right in our faces.
I think he proved it with Pharaoh. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Pharaoh was just serving God's purposes.
Yeah, he was. I mean, he was definitely, he hardened his heart and it was just amazing. It was amazing what, you know, what's taking place. And so, yeah, I mean, this is, you gotta understand, if it comes from a law enforcement perspective, that these officers now, here they are armed, and the officers have officers watching officers now.
Wow.
And while at the same time, Washington's wanting to take your guns away from you. Now you have officers watching officers watching officers. You know, this one who has a gun's watching over this one with their gun, watching that one with their gun.
Wow.
While the feds are coming with their guns to protect the families of the ones with guns from this one guy with a gun. At the same time, they're saying, listen, we want to take y'all's guns away. It's like, no, take Christopher's away. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, take people that are like that. But don't take the law-abiding citizens. What defense do we have? What defense do we have? I was looking at the blaze where this particular 78-year-old woman, maybe 80-year-old woman, somebody came into her house, I believe, with a knife. And she pulled a gun out on him, and she said, just put the right knife down and leave.
Yeah, right.
You know, and it's reportedly that he put the knife down and left. How simple is that? They're both alive. You know, a gun wins out over a knife if you're ready to use it. If you're not ready to use it, you know, we learned in law enforcement that if you're within 20 feet, maybe 30 feet, but at least 20 feet, and they have a knife, it doesn't. It just takes one lunge, and that's about it. Not for us. We'd limp 20 feet. I'm going to get you.
Right.
We throw it and the handle would hit instead of the blade thing. It's like, no, that's not the way it's supposed to happen.
All right.
But these things are tragic. But you, if you go back and you listen, this is the reason why we're here on VFN TV and the Daily Radio program is to tell you and warn you, you know, just like the harbingers that you heard, you know, that means warning, the harbingers that you heard this week as well. That we're at a crossroads. America's at a crossroads, and we got to determine. That's why we can talk about horrific things happening and going to happen, and great things happening and going to happen, because it all depends on the choice that we make. It all depends on the choice we make. We're believing that the whole world is going to begin to get encouraged and inspired in this next season of what God's about to do. Because we believe, although there's two roads ahead, and we'll talk about them, but we're going to choose and promote the good road, the right way, and the way of the third great awakening and an outpouring of God's power. I was just speaking last night to Steve in Pittsburgh, and it was just so encouraging, you know, how you know, God's just touching the city in such a short period of time, you know, through him in Pittsburgh. It's one point, you know, I was talking about a number. I said it's 1.2 million. And it's actually 1.2 million.
Is it really?
It was 1.2. It's 1.2 million. It's the county there. And it's just things that God is doing. We just got to change our paradigm of what we're called to do. And this, and this is the thing, and I may have said this earlier, but I want to say it again, that this is what the Word of God tells us. He says, you know, do not forsake the fellowship, the fellowshipping of coming together, especially as the day grows closer. But the thing about it is, that's one thing we have not forsaken in America. I mean, that's all we do is fellowship. We've actually forsaken the work for the fellowship. Now think about what were they doing. It doesn't say they were rebelling. It didn't say they weren't living for God. It didn't say, it's like, wait a minute. Now, fellowship is meant to encourage us, but we're called to do the work. And it's like, how do we get back into the fields again? You know, we want to be found when the Lord returns doing his work. By the way, if you haven't, 82%, listen to me. This is what he said. He said, it would be good for the master to find you doing the work.
Right.
And not doing the work, it didn't. I'm not going to talk about the food processor thing, cut up, thrown to pieces, and it was bad. What happened so that the one's not in the work. And understand this, that that the harvest is plentiful. There's never an issue with the harvest, but the workers are few. Now, trying to be a worker in the harvest field and continue to have your idols and your lusts and you're trying to serve God and money, you know what I'm saying? That's a very frustrating thing. It's not going to work out. But if you truly just say, you know, I'm here for the harvest, everything else I do supports the fact that I'm going to be in the harvest field, then you can say, here I am, God, send me. Send me. And knowing that, then you want to be found with grape stains on your fingertips and vineyard soil on your feet. That's what you want to do. You want to be amongst God's people, helping them, encouraging them. You want to be in the harvest field, letting people know that God loves them and God has a plan for their life and he desires to be able to show them mercy. But we need to be found doing his work. I know a different gospel has been preached in America, but just read it. Just read Jesus' words. Just read the gospels. And just read the gospels. And if that doesn't work, just read the, if it's your red letter edition, and just say, hey, you know what? I'll just read Jesus' words in the gospels.
Right.
And he says very specifically that it would be good. It would be good for the master to return to find you, you know, taking care of his people. He also said it would be good to find out that you have invested what he's given you to be able to bring a harvest or interest to him. And the ones who don't, he says, wicked and lazy servant. The ones who do, he says, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You know, it'll be good to be prepared and abiding. Five virgins did and five virgins didn't.
That's right.
And people have a lot of different things to say about that, but just read what he said. Five of them got in and five of them wanted to get in, but all they do is bang on the door. And Jesus said, I never knew you. There was people that said, Matthew 7, Lord, Lord, did we not? And he looks all these different gifts. And he says, but I never knew you. Over and over again, we have to know God, and God has to know you.
Right.
And you want to just jump out of this, whatever is being taught, that if you didn't know that, and get into to God, get in his word and begin to abide with him. It's so, so very, very important, because America right now is facing some serious, serious, we're at a serious crossroads in America. And the question is, is there a remedy for America? You know, is there a remedy? You know, you look for, if you got a cold or you have a cough or something, you go through the medicine cabinet and you're looking for a remedy. You go to the doctor and says, you know, I got a this or I got a that. And so he or she goes, maybe this, maybe that. What they're trying to do is come up with a remedy to remedy it. In other words, fix the issue, fix the problem, fix the cough or whatever. And God talks about a remedy. He talks about a remedy in 2 Chronicles chapter 36 when he's talking about his people. And people are talking about, they're saying, you know, God's got a covenant with America. He's not going to, like, oh my goodness. come on. I mean, you're not even written in the Word of God, America. Come on. I mean, like he doesn't have a covenant with Israel.
Right.
Have you looked at the history of Israel? And so he's talking to his people right here, and he spoke to them and he's warned them, but he's saying, listen, the Lord, the God of their fathers, sent word to them through his messengers again and again because he had pity on his people and his dwelling place. Understand this, that when something's happening and there's two roads that are before us, one road is destruction, loss, captivity, and the other road is mercy, grace, forgiveness, blessing, outpouring, restoration. It's two roads. It's a crossroad. And Israel was at the crossroad at that particular time in history. And what God did, what he talks about here, is that he sent messengers. He sent messengers. And what I am to you right now, I'm a messenger. I'm a messenger sent by the unction of the Holy Spirit, who spoke to me specifically about some things and just drove me, like Jonah to Nineveh, to tell you this and for us to be here, and also to the ones that are on the air with me now. And so he tells us in Amos, the book of Amos, the prophet Amos, chapter 3, verse 6 and 7, he says, when disaster comes to a city, has not the Lord caused it? Has not the Lord caused it? So get over the blindness of men who just are convinced that things accidentally happen. And sometimes things happen, but understand his word says, when disaster comes to a city, has not the Lord caused it? Then he goes on to say there in Amos, surely the sovereign Lord does nothing. Think about it. He doesn't do some things. He does nothing without revealing his plans. Think about it. He does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets. He says, the lion has roared, who will not fear? The sovereign Lord has spoken, who can but prophesy? And the Lord was just reminding me this morning as I was spending time with him that, you know, I don't want to miss my responsibility in your life and in this season, that we are here for the purpose of the harbingers, to warn you, but understand it's the kindness and the sternness of God. There's two, we're warning you about a choice. You're at a crossroads. And it's great to know you're at a crossroads. This one's danger, this one's blessing. Choose which one do you want. Do you want curses or do you want blessings?
Yeah.
And the good news of our Lord, so the fact that he would even send somebody to warn us, that's how awesome he is. Think about it. The adversary who deceives God's people and mankind continually attempts to twist in the minds of men their perception of God. But you know what? He is our long-suffering, merciful God, having pity on the very ones who wouldn't listen or acknowledge or even obey him. He's wanting to demonstrate his mercy and his forgiveness and his grace, and he's saying, listen, you're at the crossroads, God's people. You're at the crossroads, not the people who don't know God. So we would say this in the context of America. Church, you know, we're at a crossroads. And somebody says, well, that would never happen. Read Revelation, read the letters to the church. But to understand, you're empowered then. So God is sending messenger after messenger to let you know that, let us know that it's so important that you can choose the right thing. And he's wanting to demonstrate his forgiveness, his mercy, his grace, his kindness, and just to overflow to you personally or whatever, and to a people, and to a nation. But it's hinged on what will you choose. God is always speaking to his people. And at certain points, he comes in history where he just literally begins to warn an individual, a family, a nation, to begin to turn. There comes a point in time when he just says, you know, your cup is full. There comes a time when he's tried every remedy. And it's so cool. It's like, you would even try another remedy for me? You love me so much. Think about this. You love me so much that I was such a jerk when you last tried to reach me. Now you're going to try another a remedy to reach me.
Wow.
And then I was a jerk again, and I didn't even respond to you. And then you tried another remedy to reach me. God, you're so good, God.
Mm.
Oh, my goodness. This is what he says in Romans chapter 11, verse 22. He says, consider therefore the kindness and the sternness of God. Kindness to you, providing that you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you will also be cut off. So there's two roads that you have to choose what you're going to go on.
Mm-hmm.
And if you understand, first of all, God loves you and God's got a plan for your life, but you got to choose him and choose his ways, then you have no problem making the right choices. But if you are convinced what the devil told you about God is true when it isn't, then you're going to have a difficult struggle. You're going to believe that God hates you, that God's just tolerating you, that you never live up to his standards and all that religious junk. And the truth is, he's looking for remedies. He's trying this and trying that, and he's going through, quote, his medicine cabinet, trying to cure this illness in your life, in your nation, in your family, in your state, in your country, your world.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, maybe this will work. Maybe this will work. And then he says, you know, in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, you know, God said this, you know, clearly appearing to Solomon. God showed up and appeared to Solomon, talking to him. David's son, King David's son, he said, when I shut up the heavens so that there's no rain, or command locusts to devour your land, or send a plague among my people. Think about it. Just like Amos says, he's telling us, listen, there's no storm hidden, no city that God's not aware of.
Right.
He says, when I do this, I'm trying to get your attention. And he says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, which we always talk about abiding with God,
right,
and turn from our wicked ways, which is repent. Repentance is not saying I'm sorry. Repentance is being broken for our sin and leaving that sinful life. And so these things are happening, and that's what's happening to Israel right here in Chronicles, and that's what's happening to America. And God is demonstrating ahead of time, before it even happens, he appeared in the face of Solomon, and he's telling him, this is how it works, Solomon. This is how it works, America. This is how it works, Church of America. This is how it works. He says, when I shut up the heavens, when I do these things, he says, and if you'll do these four things, humble yourself, pray, seek my face, which is abide, and turn from your wicked ways, which is to repent. He says, if you'll do this, then I'll hear from heaven. In other words, my ear is turned back to you again. I'll forgive your sins, and I'll heal your land. He said, this is how it works.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a good cliche. This is not a concept to get people to pray. The creator of the universe is telling Solomon to his face, this is how it works. Understand this. He says, and he goes on to say in two more things, he says, and my eyes will be opened, and my ears will be attentive to your prayers.
Mm.
What does that mean? His eyes can be closed, and his ears can be shut. And you can be religious all you want to,
mm-hmm.
but he's not going to hear you until you respond to what's going on. God speaks to his people through weather patterns, through economy, through your job, geothermal type shakings of the earth, food and water shortages, you know, empowering or allowing enemies to come in and just rob you or take stuff from you or to come across your borders. And understand, this is happening. It happens because, and we're seeing right now, we're seeing just calamity increase and like birthing pains of this disaster on America. If we don't turn, it's just increasing. But understand, God, it's a remedy for God to get our attention.
Mm-hmm.
It's a remedy, but maybe we won't respond to the remedy. Maybe we will respond to the remedy. And this can happen as an individual level where God is dealing with a man or a woman or a family or an entire city. Or maybe even an entire nation. You know, maybe it's personal relationship storms or loss of a job or a constant need for expenditures because for your home, your car, or your body because everything just seems to be falling apart. Maybe it's food shortages. Maybe, you know, you're having to go through a season that you never thought you would have to because you don't have enough money for your food. Or maybe it's being victimized. It's like, how come I'm always being victimized in my life? And it's like, maybe I just need to repent. Maybe I just need to, that these are harbingers, that these are messengers from God. speaking to me that he wants me to take the right road. All during these storms, these struggles, God is speaking through his prophets and his messengers, warning us. Why? Because he loves us and he is having pity on us. He doesn't want to see destruction and these things happen to us. It's the pity of God. The sad reality is that he has a hope for this person, maybe you or persons or family or city or nation, that these very ones that he's warning won't ignore what he's saying, that they'll turn, that we'll turn. Because God gives us the choice. Ever since the Garden of Eden, he's put everything together and he says, now you choose between the two trees. Are you going to choose the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Or are you going to choose the tree of life?
Right.
Are you going to choose everything in the garden? What are you going to choose? And so don't quit waiting for somebody else to make the choice for you. You've got to choose. You've got to discern what's happening and the calamity that's taking place and realize it happens because of our choices that we live in. And we can make different choices. The people that we're going through these different situations that we have to understand the remedy is to stop the sin. And that stops the destruction, to turn away from our wicked ways, to pray, to abide, and to be humble. But the difficult thing is this, is that we, if we are in sin like that, we're blinded.
Mm.
We're blinded. And it was like, we're already making terrible decisions. We can't see our hand in front of our face. We don't know our right hand from our left hand, spiritually speaking. How are we going to make the right choices? How is God going to remedy this? Isn't that unfair? I mean, and he said to Jonah, he said, Jonah's going, I don't think you should, you know, save this city. Nineveh's so bad. And God says, should I not be concerned about this great city? They can't even tell their right hand from their left.
Hmm.
And he knows our state. But what was his answer? And this is why it's so very, very important and imperative to understand the ways of God. That God says to Nineveh that I'm going to put a watchman on the wall. I'm going to tell somebody what's about to happen. And he's going to go. Jonah's going to go to that city. He's going to begin to tell these people who don't know their left hand from the right hand. And now they're going to actually know what's about to happen. They wouldn't have known outside of Jonah being sent by God. So God sends messengers to us to let us know. And this is very important. If you know what God is saying and you're not telling anybody, that's not good.
Hmm.
You know, hardship, it's understand these hardships and things that are happening. As we're told plainly in Hebrews 12, 5 through 7, he says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves and he punishes everyone he accepts as sons. Endure hardship as sons. God is treating you as sons. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. Understand this whole quaking and this shaking is a loving God going, I want to be merciful to you. I want to be able to forgive your sins. Listen, there's no sin too big that my grace is not sufficient for, but you got to choose me. You got to choose my way. You got to get back. You got to listen to my messengers. And when I think about Ezekiel 33, when he talks about the storms for him, and he says, the Lord clearly says right here to Ezekiel, he says, when I bring the sword against the land and the people of the land choose one of their men, like Jonah was chose for Nineveh, mm-hmm. to make them the watchmen, and he sees the storm, he sees the sword, he sees the famine, he sees the plague coming against the land, and he blows his trumpet and warns the people. No matter their response, the individual who knows will be saved.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a responsibility. You got to stand up, and that's why we're right here on VFN Ready. We're telling you. That's why we're talking to you. We're warning you. Listen, there's two roads. One is awesome, and one is horrific. And I don't know how long that we're going to have this choice, because there's a default setting in the heavenlies right now that we're going to default towards a horrific road if we don't make a choice for the righteous road. And if he warns, and if you warn them and let them know the storm is real and the storm is coming, and they don't make a right choice, that they're individually going to suffer for that choice, but you're going to spare your own life. But if you don't warn them and this disaster does happen, for example, if Jonah didn't go to Nineveh and tell Nineveh what he knew to be true, then all the Ninevites who would have been destroyed, their blood would have been on Jonah's hand. And by the grace of God, it wasn't, because literally God was just creating shaking environments and weather patterns to get, he was like, Jonah, you're the remedy, son. You're the remedy for Nineveh. You have the remedy. I don't know if it's going to cure them from this sin issue, But just give it, be the remedy. Be the remedy. And why does God hold this one so accountable? Because understanding, that's the only way they're going to know. There has to be somebody who can see clearly, hear clearly, because the people are blinded by their sin. Their minds are blinded. He said they didn't know their right hand from their left, and he had compassion on them. What does he do? He puts somebody that can see in their midst that tells them, and possibly they would respond to the remedy. It's time for men and women of God who know exactly what's going to take place, or at least in part of what's going to take place. He's shown you clarity to rise up and let them know. Tell them about the kindness of God and the sternness of God. Tell them about the awesome possible outpouring and the third great awakening. Simultaneously, let them know the sternness of God. If we don't repent, it's not going to be good, and destruction could be coming our way if we choose that. Why? Because God has pity. God sends men and women, watchmen on the walls, prophets, messengers, because he has pity. And God loves America. God loves you. God loves your family. God loves your enemies. God loves America, and he loves the people of America. But will the remedies rise up? Will the individuals who know what God has shown is going to happen and don't lean one way or the other? The truth is that if we make the right choice, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be beautiful. Miracles, signs, wonders, outpouring, revival, the thick glory of God being poured out, just powerhouse. But if we make the wrong choice, it's going to be horrific. Destruction, theft, disaster, maybe even loss of our entire nation. Remember, he said, surely the Lord does nothing without revealing it, his plan through his servants, the prophets first. I mean, he's talking. It's not going to happen until we rise up and begin to say, hey, make a choice. But there comes a time, and this is what I'm concerned about. There comes a time when there's no more remedy. There comes a time when there's no more remedy. God sends the storm. God raises up the watchman. The prophets declare and explain what's happening. This is happening because we were doing this wrong. We have to repent, and God will forgive and show forth mercy and restore us. And the people don't respond. And the people don't respond. You see what happened in 1 Chronicles 36, 11, there was King Zedekiah. King Zedekiah, he was king over God's people. And he did evil in the eyes of the Lord. He did not humble himself before Jeremiah the prophet, who was warning him. He was giving him a word from God. It wasn't about humbling himself before a man who has a ministry. It's about humbling himself under the word of God, who just came to him to humble himself, and he didn't. And he spoke against the word of the Lord. He rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, which was God's servant, part of the storm, to humble him. That was part of the remedy. Part of the remedy was the king of Babylon is going to work on your last nerve, take all your stuff, and hopefully humble you. But he didn't even respond. He rebelled even against the remedy.
Right.
He became stiff-necked. He hardened his heart. He would not turn to the Lord. And what happened next? All the leaders and the priests and all the people became more and more unfaithful to God. Followed all the detestable practices of all the nations that's not like God's people. That's what's happening in America. We're just adopting everything in the world. The church is acting just like it. And they defiled the temple of the Lord. We are the temple of God. Know ye not that you're the temple of God, that God's spirit dwells inside of you, you're the building of God, that we defile ourselves. And what did God do? The God sent a messenger again and again, warning, maybe this will be the remedy. Maybe this will be the remedy. I'm talking about 36 here, church, 36. And the people responded by what? Mocking God's messengers. I mean, it's like a doctor fixing to give you penicillin because you have something you can be cured from it, and you're mocking the penicillin. It's like, how foolish is that? They despised the words of God. If you bring that Bible up one more time, I am so tired. Don't you understand 82% of us aren't even reading anymore, and the ones that are reading it, only 3% are even current. We don't even, listen, those are just old fogey words. They don't mean, they despise the word of God. And finally, they scoffed at his prophets. Listen, don't stop prophesying. Don't stop being a messenger because people respond in a wrong way towards you. Listen, you're the remedy. God loves them. He is wanting you to express his love to them, that they would repent. Don't just get all Jonah on them and want to walk away from them. Realize this is God's. God is concerned about that and about the people of America. And this happened, what they mocked, and they despised his word, and they scoffed at his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord was aroused against his people, and there was no remedy. And I feel like we're approaching that moment with America right now. I don't know how much time we have, but the mockers, it's just all these different organizations, they just, literally their whole purpose is just to mock and to belittle marriage and men and women and children and God's way and his words and his expectations and just scoff at them.
Mm-hmm.
And God was wanting to demonstrate his mercy to Israel. God's wanting to do that to us. But it's our choice. And so it was it. There was no remedy. It wasn't because he didn't try remedies. There was just no remedy. He tried all these other remedies. And everybody just said, no, I don't want penicillin. No, I don't want this. I don't want that. I don't want this. They, you know, get out of here with that. Well, you just stop that. You know, we want to be like the world. We want to act like the world. We want these things in the world. We want our marriage to be like the world. We want us, our families to be like the world. We want our money to be like the world. Just get out of here. They aroused the wrath of God against themselves. I'm talking about the wrath that just ends the world. I'm talking about you have broken your father's heart and there's nothing left. He's tried every remedy and something bad is about to happen. What was God's response? This is God's response. He brought up against them the king of Babylon, the very one they rebelled against that he thought he was bigger than. God made his servant Nebuchadnezzar bigger than them. Then the king of Babylon did this. Now that he was moved into power, he killed their young men with a sword in the sanctuary. You know, quit making a big deal about that building and start making a big deal about God's people as the building and realize it applies to us. You know, buildings are cool, whatever they are, but understand God will walk straight in that building and he will allow devastation to happen because we didn't deal with the contents of the building. We didn't deal with us. And God had Nebuchadnezzar go into the sanctuary and kill the young men with the sword. He didn't spare either the young men, the young women, the old men, or even the aged. He was just furious. You got a brokenhearted, jealous, loving God who's just going, I've tried everything and what you've done. And it's like, bam, bam, all these things are happening. And then God handed them over to Nebuchadnezzar and he carried to Babylon, all of the articles and the treasures and the temples of God. And they took all the king's and the officials' treasures and they set the temple of God on fire and broke down the walls, which is our security, America. Our money's going, our security's going. They burned all the palaces, destroyed everything of value and carried into exile the remnant of God's people who escaped the sword. The ones that were running and just somehow hid behind something and prevented that encounter with the destruction that was taking place. Is there a remedy for America? Or is the church, are we just going to be arrogant to the loving hand of God and just say, Listen, God is so faithful when you read on. Even though he tried every remedy till there was no remedy and they stirred his wrath against them, even when they were walking in to their own choice of captivity as a slave. He's so loving. He's so kind. He had a plan 70 years later already in his heart to redeem them back to himself out of all this bondage, the next generation. Listen, God, it's all about the love of God. Why should we have to go through so much turmoil? Why should we stir the wrath of God against us who loves us? Why don't we just accept the remedy, repentance? You know, do the first works, getting back in love with Jesus again. Dump the religion. That's what nailed Jesus to the cross, getting a relationship with God. We are at a crossroads right here, and you personally have to make this choice. No witnesses, no suspects. If you know, and now you do know because I've been talking to you, and you can go on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com and choose the menu prophecies, and you can see the warnings that are coming, earthquakes, financial collapse, millions of deaths, all this stuff. That's a road that can we can say, you know what? We're not going to take that road, God. Mm-hmm. We're going to repent. We don't need that to happen to follow you, God. And see, all that stuff doesn't happen.
Uh-huh.
God had set in his mind and heart, he was going to destroy Nineveh. It was a done deal. He sent Jonah there as a remedy to be able to deliver a word that if you'll repent, if you'll turn from your wickedness, if you will humble yourself, if you'll seek my face, then I will turn from this disaster that you presently have chosen, because you're going to choose the right road, and I'll stop this destruction. And God, when Jonah finally showed up and started delivering it, they got so touched by this warning that they all began to put on sackcloth and ashes, and even their cattle, they even muzzled their cattle where their cattle couldn't eat. And God stopped the plans. He even extended the time that gave Jonah more time to warn more people. Why? Because God's not evil. God is good. God is looking for a chance to forgive us. But we have to say, God, I was wrong. God, forgive me. Lord, forgive me for all the arrogance and the sin and the pride and the pride of life, the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh. God, I want to follow your ways. I want to hide your word in my heart. Listen, there is a remedy now. But there comes a time when there's no more remedy. There's no more remedy. And just the fact that God would dig through his box of remedies, that he would look for another, maybe this, maybe that, maybe this messenger, maybe that messenger, maybe the Twin Towers. You know, I'll take my hand off for a moment and they'll see the Twin Towers and everybody's going like, well, are they sinners or were they not sinners? No, that was a warning to us that life's not forever and that we're going to face eternity. It wasn't about them. It was about us. Mm-hmm. We've sinned and we've fallen short of the glory of God, and that we've turned our hearts away from God and to turn back to them. These mass shootings that are taking place, that should warn us. He said, listen, he said that they'll come in with their swords and kill your young men in the sanctuary. What's happening up there in the school where they're walking into schools and this second heaven demon is taking a hold of this individual and they're slaying our children in the schools, and we're not even seeing that this is a harbinger, that this is a warning. This is a possible remedy that all of us won't be slaughtered and that only a remnant would make it. These are warnings from a loving God saying, this is the outcome. It's going to be like this 100-fold if you don't turn. The Lord is looking for an opportunity to show his goodness, to forgive, to restore, to bless. But he says, I put before you blessings and cursings. Choose. Choose.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.